From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. This summer's seemingly endless heat wave means Californians are running their air conditioners nearly nonstop, and that usage means higher electricity bills. But what's being done to keep electricity charges in check? And what kind of an impact could this heat wave have on residents with low or fixed incomes as the temperature and bills continue to spike? Joining us to talk about those topics is Mark Toney. He's the executive director of TURN, the Utility Reform Network. Mark, welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Mark, remind our audience about the mission of the Utility Reform Network. What do you do and why?
TURN fights for the cleanest, safest, most affordable energy at the best prices. Like we like to say, we want the most green for the least green. We believe it's possible to have clean energy that is affordable to everybody.
You know, Mark, last week your organization called on the California Public Utility Commission to issue an emergency order during this ongoing heat wave. What were you asking them to do?
Well, I've got some good news on this. PG&E has agreed voluntarily to suspend disconnections for non-payment people behind on their bills starting July 4th through the end of this week.
And that's really important. Ends the disconnecting of people's electricity or suspension.
That's right. Yeah. To suspend disconnections for non-payment, as they call it. People are behind through the end of this week in response to the fact that we have such a deadly heat wave, and they, to their credit, are doing their part to make sure that they are not disconnecting customers in the middle of this historic heat wave. Most people know that heat waves are the number one cause, weather-related cause of death in California and the US. And this is a kind of action that will save lives.
Mark, when you heard that they would agree to that, I'm wondering, what was your reaction?
I think it was very important that they did that. I was pleased to see that. One thing I'm very concerned about is in past studies of heat waves, a lot of people who passed away was because they did not turn on their air conditioners because they couldn't afford the bill. And so that's a big concern. It's important for people who have air conditioning to use the air conditioning, particularly people who are elderly. I know a lot of elderly on fixed incomes, they're afraid to turn on the air conditioner, but it's an extremely important thing. And what we need to do is to get the shareholders, to push the shareholders to take some of their record profits and give some rate relief during these record-breaking heat.
Well, it sounds like a big portion of the concern is just that bill that they're going to get at the end of the month of running an air conditioner nonstop. What efforts are being made at the state level to reduce energy costs, to reduce electricity rates?
TURN has several bills that are currently at the legislature in Sacramento that would require utilities to choose least cost solutions to wildfire mitigation, to investigate whether we should have limits on overspending, which is a big problem of why the rates are so high, and to basically just be more accountable to customers and to put customers in front of the Wall Street investor profits that are out of control. We should not be having record utility skyrocketing bills and have record profits from Wall Street investors. That makes no sense. It is not right.
Mark, as you know, across Sacramento and across California, many people rent instead of own. And so I'm wondering, if you're a renter right now and your air conditioning breaks during this heat wave, What rights or recourse do you have to get it fixed in a timely fashion?
It'd be very important for people to immediately contact their landlord. The landlord can be held responsible if they know that the air conditioning is broken and they refuse to do something about it. This is a public health issue. And we want to save people from trips to the hospital, heat stroke, and worse.
And along those lines, talking about this heat wave and the impacts, are there some basic tips that you can relay on how to save money on electricity bills and how to stay cool?
It's extremely difficult in this extreme heat because the highest temperatures come when the time of use rates are the highest. So 4 to 9 are the highest rates in the summertime, and 4 to 6 is the hottest part of the day. So part of what you can do is to pre-cool your home before 4 o'clock and get the temperature as low as you can, if you can get it in the low 70s. And then at 4 o'clock to set your temperature as high as you can bear it, 80, 82. And you should be able to get 2 or 3 hours where you don't have the air conditioning running at all. And that'll save you because then you won't be running it for those 2 or 3 hours during the peak rates. That'd be an example of something that you can do.
And finally, Mark, if there was 1 or 2 additional things that you'd like to see the state or the major power companies do during a heat wave like this, say in addition to suspending the disconnections, what would those things be?
I think it's important for utilities to be proactive in contacting the customers who have already been disconnected and to work out an arrangement so they can be reconnected, even if they can't afford to pay for it during these heat waves. These are life and death issues. So everything that we can do, I think the other thing is just to make sure that this is a trend, this heat, because of climate change. We need to seriously look at a summer moratorium against shutoffs for the entire state. I think that's the direction we need to go.
Well, Mark, such a timely topic and an important one. Thank you so much for joining us here on Insight.
Happy to be on anytime, Chris. Thank you.
Mark Toney is the executive director of TURN. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. Sticking with the topic of utilities, with the heat continuing and conditions drying up, it's important to keep water conservation in mind, whether that's putting a limit on watering lawns or fixing up any leaks at home. But for some people, it might be hard to know where to look, and making those repairs could be expensive. To help residents save water and money this summer, the city of Sacramento is offering some helpful programs and rebates. Joining us now is Carlos Eliason with the Sacramento Department of Utilities. Welcome, Carlos.
Thank you so much.
To start off, we all know it's important to conserve water during the summer months, but it might be expensive for some people to make those needed fixes. Tell us a little bit about Sacramento's indoor and outdoor rebate program. How do they work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have quite a few rebates that people can take advantage of, mainly City Sacramento water customers. And we've got quite a few indoor ones where people can get sometimes free faucets and fixtures or rebates to help pay for things like toilets and high efficiency washing machines. On the outdoor side, people can get up to $3,000 to take advantage of our outdoor rebate programs. And that includes things like grass conversions, irrigation upgrades, that sort of thing.
Are these income-based programs? How do people qualify for them?
Really, the main thing is being a City Sacramento water customer. So if you get a City Sacramento bill and you pay for water, that's the first part of eligibility. They're not income-based. So if you go on to one of the programs and look for the requirements there, they will kind of list them out per program. But yeah, not income-based at all.
And where does the money come from to pay for this program? And I know sometimes these rebate programs, they run out of funding. So how much is left or available right now?
It kind of depends on the program. There's some state grants that help pay for some of these. Otherwise, they'll come directly from the Department of Utilities. Some of them are limited to, you know, if there's funding available, and others we just kind of have a funding that we have there.
Let's talk about the different rebate amounts and any sort of requirements to apply or receive them. I know that there's some for single family homes and also duplex customers.
Yeah. So the main thing, if we're talking about home ownership, so there's the two different sides, right? We've got a lot of renters. We've got a lot of homeowners. Homeowners are probably going to be taking advantage a little bit more of the outdoor rebates because you kind of have access to and can modify some of those facilities. And so, again, that's things like grass conversions. So taking out the grass, converting it to drought-tolerant plants, plants that use much less water. We have irrigation upgrades, so you can go in and convert your system to a drip irrigation and rent it off of a smart controller. And that's going to further reduce the water amount. For homeowners, by and large, the majority of water use is going to be outdoors. If you're looking at something like what renters can do, you know, sometimes there are options. They can swap out faucets and fixtures if their lease lets them. But the reductions there are going to be a little less dramatic than if you're able to swap out the outdoor implements.
Carlos, the city of Sacramento, of course, has a year-round watering schedule in place. Can you give residents a reminder of what that schedule looks like for the summer and when they are exempt?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's year-round. The big thing to remember there is kind of spring, summer months, and then fall and winter months. During the summer, you can water up to 2 days per week, and every address is a little bit different. So if you end, I always forget this, so I've got my little notes in front of me, but if you have an address that's even-numbered, you can water on Wednesdays and Sundays. That's during the spring and summer months. If your address is odd numbers, then you can water on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Always want to be making sure that you're watering before 10 a.m. and after 7 p.m. That's generally when it's going to be a little bit cooler, so you're not losing water to evaporation. So we're in summer right now. That's kind of the big thing on people's minds. If those are the only two things that we get you to remember, hopefully that's it. If we go into the fall and winter months, you're only going to be able to water once per week. And in fact, we recommend people turn off their sprinkler systems altogether. A lot of times rain will supply what landscapes need during those months.
So tell me a little more about the sort of summertime, spring and summer schedule, because I imagine, you know, people out there right now looking at the temperature over 100 degrees for a week or more might say watering outdoors just twice a week, all of our plants are going to die with that kind of a schedule. Tell us more about the sort of the logic behind that schedule.
Yeah, that comes from one of the prior droughts. So not this one that we just got out of, the one that's about 2013 to 2017, give or take. And the city council back then decided that water conservation is going to be a way of life. And so they implemented this watering schedule to help people reduce overall water usage, and it's quite frankly worked. Depending on how you calculate the numbers, there's been anywhere from a 15 to 25% overall reduction in water use since that's happened. I'm sure some people remember during the last drought, the state was asking for 10, 15, 20% reductions. We were kind of already ahead of the game in terms of that. So yeah, it's an interesting question. It's one that we get a lot because people are concerned about keeping their landscapes alive. People spend money on them. They enjoy them. And so they want to make sure they're continuing to invest in those. That's where we say, well, we can use water more efficiently. So doing things like watering before 10 and after 7 can help quite a bit. Doing things like reducing your sprinkler timings. So if you take the volume of water and you let it out more slowly, you can do that, but for more runs of that timing. And oftentimes that will supply what plants need. You're using the water more efficiently. It's giving time for it to actually absorb into the ground versus just running off or evaporating. So there's ways that people can manage their landscapes in very water efficient ways. Yeah.
And we just have a few seconds left, but I do want you to talk a little bit about the free house calls the city is offering, because that would go to what you said about managing your landscape a little better.
Yeah, we love to help people. We've got free house calls that people can take advantage of. They're primarily geared towards homeowners who are using more than, I think, 500 gallons of water per day. But basically, give us a call and we'll send somebody out to come look inside, outside the home, see if there's leaks, see how you can use water more efficiently, make sure your sprinkler irrigations are up to date and according to the schedule, and just basically using water as efficiently as possible.
That's great. That's a free service.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, I imagine a lot of folks would maybe not know where to start, but you have these water conservation specialists that can walk through their home, their property, and identify places to improve and fix.
Yeah, it's a great service. A lot of people don't know about it. If you call 311, they'll connect you to the Department of Utilities and we'll get you set up.
Well, it's great to learn about. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Carlos Eliason is with the Sacramento Department of Utilities talking about how Sacramento residents can conserve water. Up next, a Sacramento State program has been providing older adults with learning opportunities for more than 30 years. We'll learn more about the Renaissance Society of Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.